Hi guys, so this is We Are the Line Between. I'm Elisa.
I'm Katie. Can you hear us first of all?
Yeah, if you guys can't hear us, let us know.
Because we'll shout.
But we can shout anyways. We have very, very loud voices, but I'm so happy to have you guys all here. So yeah, like we said, this is The Line Between. We are a Pardesi podcast. We're all about pop culture, lifestyle, everything else in between, all from like a Gen Z, South Asian kind of lens. A little bit of that Gen Z cynicism that we all love.
Because when Elisa and I, when it started, I think our main thing was, why is no one hating on things the same way we are? Because every time we met up, it would always be like, oh, like, what is this trend? Or like, what, you know, why is this happening? And we thought, I don't know, super original.
Yeah. We should start a podcast.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did. Yeah, pretty much. It was exactly that thought process of like, probably just thinking that, you know, we have such great ideas. Maybe we should start a podcast. And instead of just tabling that away, we actually did end up starting a podcast.
Speaking of, we've obviously done stuff at Pardesi for a little while. So very quickly before we start.
Just quickly, in case you guys, if this is the first time you guys are meeting us, if you've met us before, hi, hello, hi again. So I started up with Pardesi probably around 3-4 months after it was founded. It started off, obviously, we started off as a website, and I was doing a lot of like the pop culture articles and stuff, spent a lot of time hating on different TV shows and stuff that wasn't really showing South Asian women and femmes in a particularly positive light as they should be. And once we kind of moved away from that kind of online format, once we got away from being locked in inside in our rooms and everything, I thought that this might be a better platform for all the hating that I wanted to do, to be honest.
That is so fair, because I also wrote articles, kind of a combination of reviewing the TV shows and films and music, especially that was coming out during like the pandemic, as well as can you hear me now? Very ASMR.
I should just move that a little bit closer. Yeah,
there you go. Sounds better. Okay. As I was saying, I was also writing a lot of articles in a similar vein, because I thought there was not enough South Asian stories out there, or when they were focused on kind of announcements or when like big projects were coming out, or like Dev Patel movies, but there wasn't enough.
Love Dev Patel.
Exactly. Which we don't hate, but there was not enough about kind of regular, you know, what is the day to day as someone who has maybe moved away from the country that we're raised in or born in, how do we interact with other women and just in the world. So I think that those articles gave way into doing this in a longer format. And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today.
Yes.
Different little topics.
Yeah. I mean, with this event being a sleepover theme, I don't know if anybody else had the feeling of like a little bit of irony, because none of us were allowed to go to sleepovers when we were younger. And now here we are living out our best childhood lives coming to sleepover.
Just in our 20s.
Just in our 20s when we're old. Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like a fun way to, like, I mean, not to really quote a lot of like the flashy TikTok kind of things, but healing your inner child. I feel like this is a little bit like that. Healing your inner child, going to sleepovers as an adult.
Not just like sleepovers, like we've had this conversation about like even constantly feeling growing up like you had to be someone else. Everyone kind of associated with you like that. And I mean, most often it's always like, and not like the other girl trend that comes out. And a big part, and I see everyone wearing some shade of pink, was hating pink. Yeah. I don't know if you ever had that. Like,
oh, big time. I definitely went through that whole kind of pick me girl phase of like, I don't want to like pink. I don't want to do this. I only want to wear shorts and dress like a tomboy. I was not a tomboy at heart. I wanted to play with dresses and dolls and wear all of this and wear pink, but nobody would let me do it. And I just felt the constant message that was being pushed at the time, I remember, was just being a girl, being a girly girl, being, or like liking pink was seen as weak or whatever. And there was like a little girly girl inside me that was dying to come out, and it just wasn't.
Yeah, at the time you don't let yourself also, because exactly like I was saying, that you feel I have to put on this persona of liking skateboarding and the color blue and teal and turquoise, which is crazy. No one ever likes turquoise. I'm sorry, because I made everything turquoise.
But such a random color, turquoise.
Well, that was like I still want to be girly. Like you said, it's coming, it's in there, but I don't want to be pink or purple, like have that assigned color. Speaking of sleepovers, do you actually remember any time like in school where it was.
That was where the once in a blue moon moment that I was allowed to.
Do you remember it being an issue and like how you?
Oh yeah, big time. I think every single time I asked my parents, it was always like, no, it was an immediate no. It was not even a discussion. It wasn't even like, this is open for conversation. We can really iron it out, because when our grandparents are going to listen to your opinion, not once. But it was every single time I would ask, it would just be like, no, we don't know them. We don't know their parents. And like, looking back, it kind of had a point. And because people are weird and parents are, and other people's houses are a little bit weird. You don't know other people's rules. So they did kind of had a, they did kind of have a point looking back. But yeah, no, it was always an immediate shutdown. Like, don't bring this up again. I think there was only one time, to be honest, my parents let me, that I was allowed. And my friend was also white, because I went to majority white school. And the only reason they let me was because I threw the biggest tantrum. You have no idea. I was 10 years old. I should not have been throwing a tantrum.
You were standing on it. You had to fight it.
I was not standing on business. I was fully just throwing a tantrum because I just wanted to go to sleep. And mind you, this girl lived 2 seconds away from me. She lived in the next building. But I fully threw a tantrum. I'm not proud of it, but I went to.
Here you are.
But here I am.
Celebrating now. I mean, for me, I was actually telling my friend earlier that I don't remember sleepovers per se. I don't remember like these big fights. I'm sure there were.
Mm-hmm.
But I moved a lot like growing up. So kind of year to year, I don't remember what state I was in and what friends, but I have a really strong memory of I was, I think, 10 years old, and there was a new girl who had just come, and she had invited us to her birthday party, which was at the nail salon, which was that was my magnum opus. Like, that was when life peak, because I'd never gone to a nail salon. And I remember going, and I mean, the whole birthday party was just going and like getting manicures and pedicures. I chose turquoise again. And it's just, I feel like
reading home, I will never know that one color.
No, I won't let this work. Still to this day, I wish I'd chosen a different color.
Okay.
Because I came into it in school the next day, and everyone was like, oh my God. And it was kind of like a badge that mm-hmm. I went to this really cool party. And I think you realize in that moment that like, it's not about getting to go and like, yeah, I mean, all of that and the fun stuff you do there, but it's more so feeling like you actually belong to some kind of super secret, you know, sleepover club, which it kind of is. Like, the girlies at school made it, like, I don't know if you guys had this experience or super American, but there was like the party and then there was the after party. Like, there was the sleepover and not everyone was invited to the sleepover.
Only the cool kids were invited to the sleepover afterwards. And it was always this thing that was like inside jokes afterwards, and like, so you go to school. And because,
so stupid.
Because like, you weren't at the sleepover, you weren't involved and you weren't allowed.
Yeah. And there's nothing, I think, middle schoolers or elementary school, primary school, there's nothing kids love more doing
than excluding.
I was going to say, like, very good. I was just going to say, they love reminding you that you were not there.
Yeah.
And you're not part
of
it.
They love reminding you that you're not part of this group and we don't want you, but like, we kind of want you just for the sake of like, just to keep you there, just as a fan.
Yeah, and you kind of have a feeling of, like, not shame, but, like, feeling embarrassed that you want that so bad, which it's natural because, like you said, growing up, if you don't get those same experiences or, I don't know, your parents, you think your parents are the uncoolest ever for, like, not letting you go anywhere, kind of chasing that, it's, again, comes into this whole trope of, like, oh, I don't want to be that girl. Like, I don't want to be that person who wants to go to sleepovers and paint their nails and do hair. So I don't know. I think it's like a series of events that leads you to maybe realizing, like you're saying, your parents didn't have a point, maybe, in safety.
Yeah.
But then also that feeling never really goes, that you want to feel included in a space where everyone else is just like you.
Yeah.
And lets you be, kind of indulge that side of you. I don't know if painting nails is an indulgence, but when you're 10, it is.
It does feel like indulgence.
So,
but you're actually right on the parents thing, because I don't know if anybody else has felt this now that they're getting a little bit older and moving out and everything. I feel like one of the biggest, and I don't want to say saddest because it's kind of a good thing, but biggest tragedies of my life is realizing that my mother was right all along.
Oh, yeah.
When all the time. Every single time she said anything, she was right all along.
And that is second to being told look or act like them. And yeah. That's all that's assigned.
She was right. She was always right. And when I was 10, I was like, absolutely not. Are you right? I thought I was the only person that experienced anything ever in the history of mankind. But yeah, unfortunately, that woman was right. She knew exactly what she was talking about. I don't know.
I mean, I agree with you. And I feel like it's only going to get more. That feeling only intensifies when you actually go through, I don't know, like people here in their 20s or 30s, but like you get into a job or you get into relationships, friendships. And then those little things that they've said, they might not be applicable when you're 10 years old, but they start coming through and you're like, oh,
turns out she knew what she was talking about.
I mean, we talk a lot about like things that happened when we were children coming through now in like a cyclical fashion. Do you feel like, I mean, like inner child aside, there's moments where you look back and you're like, well, this is never gone. Like this feeling has never gone from when I was a child to now. Like for me, I'll start on the spot here. You can tell we have not rehearsed. But on the spot, I was just thinking the other day, like getting to do arts and crafts as a kid, it was like my pride and joy. Like just like scrapbooking, doing beads and I don't know, just painting, drawing. And you kind of put that aside because life gets in the way.
Yeah, everyone tells you to just grow up.
Yeah, grow up. Or it's like you actually have to do exams and work.
Fortunately.
But then I think now realizing that that's still the way you can relax and have fun is that. But then, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe arts and crafts and that same thing because I was very also into arts and painting and all that. And I feel like at a certain point, maybe it was around like 15 or 16, I feel like I did that same thing where like I gave it up and I was like, this is not a real career path for me, or like no one had really encouraged it. So I was like, cool, let's hang this up. Let's do science. I mean, I like science, but like really just kind of steer off course. I don't know. There was like a couple other things. Like I really liked ballet actually when I was younger. Did not continue it for that exact same reason.
You didn't want to be a ballet girl.
Yeah, I did not want to be a ballet girl, but
well, little did you know that ballet corps is back.
Yeah.
And now it's a thing.
I know, it's a really
along with both.
Oh my god.
And everything else.
All the other kind of
that's weird. What I'm saying. It feels so cyclical. I mean, trends, like childhood nostalgia aside, just trends, like things that we really like growing up, like
everything is all. I mean, there's always
stupidest things.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that thing of like different like fashion decades always come back. Like it's everyone always says that fashion is cyclical. And everyone talks about like how the 90s are back, 2000s are back. I mean, right now, I think it's 2000s. I can never really keep up, to be honest. But no, it's that exact same cyclical thing. I'm very worried that at some point people are going to start rocking those like long Bermuda shorts that we were all wearing in 2009.
They have.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because the capri, it's very mobile, I think.
I hate it.
Like
I hate it so much.
Italian summerside. Like
what are you talking
capri
about?
Capri pants and then the little scarf on the neck. I mean, this could just be my For You page. So. If there's silence, then it's just me. But
the silence.
Three fourths are back.
I've seen the capris. I haven't seen the Bermuda shorts. Do you not remember those with the checkers?
And the belts on the side. Yeah, the gizmos on the side.
God.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, I couldn't wear it. But that's exactly what I'm saying. Seeing like a fashion influencer wear it now, I would probably be so cute. I'd be like, yes, especially with those checkered shorts.
But is that just us being so influenced, just constantly? Like, if normally we would all be like, this is disgusting. Absolutely not. I'm ever going to wear this again. But then you see it on a fashion influencer and you're like, oh, that's it. That's a slang. That's what I want.
I think so. And I think, but that links to the same thing I was saying about letting your childhood alive, keeping childhood alive now. And I mean, I feel like all these fashion influencers, the way that they do it is by wearing all of these whack clothing because I mean, it looks so good on them. But sometimes I'm like, are you actually doing this because it's a trend? Or maybe it's because they want to keep that, you know.
I mean, I'm not innocent of this. I really did buy into the Crocs trend. I do own a pair of Crocs now.
Are they platform?
No. I didn't go that far.
That's the updated version.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I have like regular Crocs because I lost my Crocs ages ago. And then it went in this whole thing that Crocs are old, Crocs are disgusting, all this. I very much was in that as well, that I was like, absolutely not. Am I buying into this trend again about wearing Crocs? And I fully just bought Crocs again. I just bought one of my best friend's Crocs for her birthday as well. Like, I'm fully in this again. Just Crocs.
You're spreading them.
I'm spreading the disease around everywhere at this point.
I mean, speaking of stuff like that, I started ice skating again. Which, I mean, again, is crazy because I wasn't doing it. But I signed myself up in my hometown. And I mean, I've only gone to two sessions. But it was one of those things that I was like, this is something I've always wanted to do. And I mean, it is kind of for aesthetic reasons. Like, look at their outfit. Also, every time the Olympics comes around, like, do you not just look at figure skating and that is the event?
Yeah.
Always was for me with gymnastics.
Yeah.
But adult gymnastics is harder to find. But at like the local ice rink, they have adult classes. And when I signed up for that, I was like, I mean, it wasn't the whole cliche of like, oh, I'm healing my inner child and like, I'm so happy. But it was a moment because terrifying. Because you know you're going to be in a class of 14-year-olds and you're going to be the worst. at 20 or 23, but
yikes.
Which I am. I'm the oldest.
Love that for you.
But getting to do that, like, it feels really weird. Like, you have adult money now, and you can do things that you really wanted to as a kid, or you didn't get to. Because to be very honest, like, I think growing up, for whatever, like, access reasons, we don't live near certain things that, you know, like,
true.
Horse riding, ice skating, ballet. And then sometimes you just don't have the time to. So
that's true.
Yeah, but I would only say is to counter that, how do you deal with wanting to do things that feel like have an expiration date? Or not an expiration date. Like, there's a set starting point, like with things like ballet.
Or like gymnastics, actually.
Or gymnastics.
Gymnastics. I feel that about gymnastics just because I'm scared I'm going to break my back if I try and do a cartwheel now. I feel like I'll be my
biologically?
Absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. I can't do a I was never able to do a cartwheel.
Also, I feel like there's enough people here to vouch for if you, as an adult, try to do the same, like, flexibility movements that, like, kids can very easily do.
No. I'm nearing 25. I can't do that anymore.
We should talk about that.
Being 25?
Being 25. Being raise a hand if you're over 25. I mean, you don't have, okay.
I mean, yes. You don't
have to. I was like, maybe this is not allowed.
Maybe people don't want to confess. Like, I'm sorry.
No, out of curiosity, because I feel like, I don't know. I don't. If you guys agree, please heckle. Please.
Please
but
continue to heckle.
Maybe, like, 25 feels like the end of the world. Like, 25. I'm sorry. I know people are over 25, but I am nearing 25. And
you are not nearing 25. I'm nearing 25.
Okay. No, I mean, you're not on the
death. It expired.
No, but like, I'll tell you why. It's such a... No, but okay, 25, I think when you're early 20s, 25 feels so scary.
Yeah.
Because 25. You feel like that is the age where everyone looks at you. You're like in the center of a stage and everyone looks at you. And they're like, okay, marriage and career and house and also
family, kids, all of this.
Where is it?
I don't know. I still don't know anything.
I feel like you have a get out of jail free card up until 25.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Or like, and then just 30. What it feels like. It might not, it actually might just be all in our heads.
Yeah, because, I mean, even right now when I talk to my, like, Aji on the phone, like, my grandmother, she will be like, oh, like, have you thought of da-da-da-da? I'm like, oh my God, I'm 23. Like, why are you even talking about this? And it's allowed because I am 23 and that's fine.
It's normal.
But at 25, like, a lot of my cousins and my friends, they said, like, at 25, there's no escape. Like, you have to sit down for that career.
you have to
be present.
Look your parents or look your other extended family members in the eye and really discuss these kind of hard-hitting, really just marriage. I'm scared of marriage. That's what thing. But
I think the irony, which you pointed out, it's like, I feel like that's, everyone has that age and it never stops because consistently and it's validated by all the external sources, like not just like, you know, beauty campaigns, but also men and other women and our mothers and friends. I don't know if you have some bad friends, which we all do. Everyone externally validates that you are going to, like, there's going to be a point of expiry.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be a point where after that, you plateau.
Yep.
Like, you've heard it with your career, right? Like, after a certain point, everyone's like, well, you've progressed as much as you can for your age, for your standing, for your qualifications or your background. And then it's a plateau. And it's, because no one talks about, no one's like, you're not falling off. No one's, you know, you're not getting canceled.
Yeah.
But it's that fear of just, I think, just complacency and stillness that you feel so scared about. Because up until you're 25, maybe you're doing your master's, you're doing university, you're working, you're just, it's a year, like year after year, there's constant growth and movement. And 25, 30, 35, 40, I don't know. I'm just anticipating because I constantly have that anxiety of, something is just going to stop working.
I mean, I feel like that's always a thing that's only unfortunately applied for women because no one speaks to men like this. No one speaks to men like this about, you know, you're going to turn this age and then you can't do this and you can't do that. Men can do whatever they want until they're lying on their deathbed and no one cares.
No, men get like really nice food analogies, like, you know, like they're aging like fine wine.
And when has anyone ever referred to a woman as that she's aging like fine wine? I mean, women do age like fine wine, but no one is actually referring to women like that.
Yeah, but you would get so offended if someone did. Because if someone is like, oh, Lisa, you're like a nice red.
I'm like,
you
excuse
would
me?
Be pissed.
I mean, like, what the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. No, but but you're right, because no one puts those labels or expiry dates on anyone except young women, femmes, or people who have that same feeling of, you know, after some point, people are not going to see value in me. whether for, you know, career, home life, family life. And it's really sad. And I don't know what, like, how do you combat? Well, you're turning 25.
I'm turning 25 in like 6 months. And that's not, this is not a sharing moment.
No, I co-opted that. I should talk about my fear of turning 25 in a year.
You're 23.
Yeah, but I had to take that moment. So then you can talk now.
She's just turned 23, like 3 months ago.
No,
we're talking about 25.
But that's what I'm saying. It feels like slippery slopes.
I feel like the kind of mindset that we have about age, weird enough, I think applies to like every 5 year age gap. I feel like I had the same thing about turning 20 because I was like, I'm not a teenager anymore. Oh my God, I'm going to be in my 20s. This is going to be the decade of my life that I have to be an adult and I might get married and I'll have kids and I'll do, and I'll have a job and I'll do all of this. And this is that big, big kind of chunk of life. What everyone talks about in the 20s is this like really big, important moment of your life. And I remember having that feeling when I was 20. And then now I'm going to be 25. And now I'm feeling that here as well, that I'm like, I haven't figured anything out. I thought I was going to have some idea of what I was going to do or where I'm going to go. But I have literally nothing figured out. I'm barely keeping myself together, to be honest, on most days.
Woo.
Barely. I said barely. Bare minimum, honestly. Yeah. It's a miracle if I have 3 meals a day, to be honest.
But I think, and we talk about that. I mean, we talk about this. And it feels like repeated.
Yeah.
But what would be so great is if there was more people actually feeling comfortable to talk about that, not just in media. Like, obviously, we have ample TV shows and characters, and so many South Asian characters as well, and South Asian girls who talk about these anxieties, not the aging, but like just that feeling of not being good enough or feeling, you know, insecure in whatever environment. But I feel like in person, I wish we had more frank conversations in our friends or colleagues. I don't know where you want to talk to colleagues, but with friends about that fear of, oh my God, like, are you also just hanging on? Are you also
hanging by a thread?
Did
yes.
you eat breakfast today? Like, it's, yeah.
I'm fasting. I did not have breakfast today.
Yeah, of course. But things like that, like the bare minimum, like, talks about rent, talks yeah. about, you know, where are you going in the next 1 year? Because I feel like, yeah, I mean, it's a good thing because friends are supposed to be like an escape. And,
yeah.
you know, you don't want to talk about very depressing things with them. Mm. But sometimes there's a feeling of if we talked about it more, maybe the stigma or just internal fear would lessen. And yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see that's a goal I'm setting for myself here, that I would want to talk more about how I'm feeling with things like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you feel like this. Sometimes I think maybe that's where that culture part comes in, is that, I mean, in general, society is talking about women aging and how you all haven't expired, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like it is perpetuated a little bit more in our own homes. I feel like in South Asian homes as well, maybe just generally kind of ethnic homes. It's that whole thing of like, okay, what's next? What is next? Tell us what is next. What are you doing after this? What are you doing after this? And then there's always that, especially if you're a woman, then it comes underneath of like, when is that happening? That kind of sneaks up on you.
Yeah,
as well.
They're like destinations. Like first house, first, you know, marriage, first kids.
Yeah,
etc.
All of that.
But sometimes I find it difficult to fault certain attitudes. Like, obviously, that doesn't make it okay. But sometimes when you step back and you look at, like, for example, parents who talk about it, a lot of our parents or a lot of us are actually, you know, first generation immigrants, or our parents grew up in a very different world, very different economy, full stop, but just such different experiences and socialization that sometimes that restlessness in them is second nature because they've had to put that, they've had to build that in order to actually get to where they are today and raise us in whatever, you know, wherever you grew up, however you grew up. So I don't know, that's the complexity of it, because on one hand, exactly like with the sleepovers, you're like, oh my God, you are the worst. And I am running away. I'm going to threaten. And I'm going to come back for dinner. But yeah. You are so frustrated because they don't understand modern problems. Like, mm-hmm. you know, my bestie's having a sleepover and there might be boys. So please. But
God forbid.
Well, I went to a sleepover. Actually, there were boys.
How did you get out of the van? How on earth did you get
out of the van? That's what I'm saying.
She lied. She's a liar. That makes sense.
Well, but that stuff, and then handling that also. I mean, comparing that also with the fact that they've, yeah, it's just hard because you're like, you know, such a different world and you're raising me or raising us in such a different world,
mm-hmm.
that that restlessness or that constant, I don't know if you're like, your parents or your family members are like this, but you always have to do something. Like, obviously, not just like, don't be unemployed, but like, there's
don't just like stay at home.
You never have a feeling like sometimes when my mom calls, I actually have to say like, oh, I'm doing something.
Yeah.
Like it could be like reading, or I have to show some kind of evidence.
Yes. I'm not wasting my life away.
But exactly, I feel like it kind of instilled this sense of restlessness in us that's like, I have to show for something.
I get this from my parents sometimes, is that when I'm doing that, they're like, if they call and I'm busy, or like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and they're like, why are you always doing something? Why are you never at home?
Well, yeah, because they've gone over the end. They're like the coolest. They're the coolest mom.
Now suddenly they can be cool, and now suddenly everything's okay. And I'm like, yeah. Where was this when I was 15? This would have been nice.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is so overset as well. The whole pipeline of like, don't date, to, oh my god, why don't you have a date? Like, what?
Yeah.
The TikTok, you know? But I think that whole switch, I feel like it's so hard to reconcile with,
mm-hmm.
when you're also going through like the toughest decade. And that's not just your 20s, that's your teenage years, that's your 30s. And then you just realize it's all tough.
There's no worse
decade, but you're essentially doing that age for the first time. It's not like rocket science, but you are essentially experiencing all of this for the first time. First job and first relationships and friendships. So, yeah.
And I think kind of the annoying thing about having this kind of anxiety about aging, and like this like weird fear of aging, is that we spend so much time thinking about this expiry date that I don't think we think about enjoying that this is a first. Like, we're not actually going to get this time again, and we're not going to be able to make this mistake again. I mean, or any mistakes we make in the future, it's not going to have that same level of freedom, I think. And I don't know. I just feel like we need, I mean, I'm saying this to myself. I keep saying I need to start doing this. Is that I need to focus on note to self, honestly. I cannot constantly be focused on focusing on the fact that I'm going to be turning 25 and I'm going to be this age and I can't do this anymore and I'm running out of time to do something. There's no such thing as running out of time. Life, hopefully, inshallah, keeps going. Like, yeah. I can't keep thinking that, like, this is it and I have to do this now. And if I don't do it now, I'll never be able to do it.
Yeah, it's just taking steps to deal with your own guilt or shit. Because, okay, let's not get into guilt and shame as a topic.
I mean, let's get into it, to be honest.
No, but what you said just makes me realize, like, half of the battle is with yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, half of it is fighting, you know, external sources. But sometimes it's just dealing with your own guilt of, okay, letting yourself go to something that maybe as a kid you weren't allowed to, or like letting yourself not do maybe the work that you had to do for that day or a to-do list item, because that's the way you've grown up. Like, your parents have always said, you know, get your work done first.
Mm-hmm.
And like, be like, parenting yourself in a really, I don't know if that's a weird way to say.
Yeah.
But I mean, when we obviously open the floor and stuff, I'd be so curious, because I need to know, how do you guys actually deal with guilt? Not shame. But, I mean, guilt and shame sometimes go hand in hand. But the self-guilt, even when it's like really mundane things, or and also bigger things, like if you've had any like big life decisions, like moving country, moving out of your hometown, because for some people that's like the biggest betrayal to parents. It's like, why would,
like, how dare you leave this house?
How dare you? And then like, yeah, what career are you going to? How, the big things, and then also the small things. I'd be really curious to hear from everyone.
Oh, and also,
how do you deal with that? But speaking of, of hometown.
Yes.
You went back home. Yes. And you are going back home recently.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I did. So for context, I partly grew up in Hong Kong and in Bahrain. I went to high school in Bahrain. And I went back to Hong Kong just now in December for the winter kind of Christmas holidays with my family for the first time in like 7 years. I had not been back. And it was like this really beautiful feeling of nostalgia of being back there in a place that I recognized as like my whole childhood was there. And a lot of the things were kind of the same. A lot of the things were drastically different and made me feel kind of sad that I didn't get to see that kind of growth. Nostalgia is weird. Nostalgia is very, very weird. It makes you feel both happy and sad at the same time. So,
I feel like I've read a quote somewhere that's like, nostalgia is like borrowed sadness. Like you take sadness about what could have been. I don't know if it's like a hometown, like what if you lived there? What if you stayed with the same people in the same environment? But yeah, it's that melancholy. It's like you almost borrow it from the past and the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I find it interesting because I feel people have very two opposite reactions going home, whatever you consider home. It's either like how you said, you're so nostalgic for that moment and who you were when you were living there,
yeah,
these like really fun moments, or it's the opposite where you're like, I literally, I'm so glad I left. Mm-hmm. And being there sometimes triggers certain feelings of, I remember how I felt when I was living there, like whether you're trapped or, yeah, things like that.
No, I think I did feel a little bit of that, of like, I'm kind of glad that I left. As much as I loved growing up in Hong Kong, I really did. I think when I left at the time that I did, I left when I was around 15, something like that. I'm a wildly different person because I moved to a school, especially that was a lot more POC friendly and had a lot more people of color, a lot more brown people as well. And I left an environment where I was one of like 7 South Asians and one of like 2 or 3 Muslims in the entire school from year 7 to year 12. I was one of maybe 3 Muslims. And I think the person I would have become if I stayed in that school until graduation, I would be insufferable. I would be not even a menace. I would be insufferable. I would 100% be like a pick me kind of brown person. I would be so self-hating. So
not a girl.
Not a girl's girl. I would not be anything. I would be insufferable. And moving at that like pivotal point of like my adolescence, moving to a school where I got the chance to make South Asian friends and making some of like the greatest friends that I will have ever met in my life, who I'm still friends with today, I would not have had that opportunity if I had stayed there. So as much as I loved growing up there and it's such a big part of my childhood, I am glad, to be honest. I actually am.
No, but see, getting that kind of hindsight, like that perspective,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it comes back when you go to, like, you know, back home.
Yeah.
I always feel like, so the way I grew up, when I moved to the UK, and I mean, my best friend here, who I met like the very first day of moving here, it was my 13th school, because growing up, every single year or a year and a half, we would move, whether that was state, like we lived in 8 different states or actual countries, because we lived in like South Africa and Denmark. So when I moved to the UK, I was very comfortable with the detachment of like, this isn't it. Like, as in, I was really excited. It was like, oh my God, it's, you know, British and Harry Potter and all that. But like a little bit, I think you become a bit jaded, because you're like, well, this nothing is really, nothing lasts. Yeah. Which is so emo.
That's
for a little
so 11-year-old. Emo.
But I mean,
why is an 11-year-old thinking nothing lasts? We're all gonna die. It doesn't matter.
It's very like I'm happy if this is tempered, because yeah, I'll have a great time when I'm here, and when it ends or when I move, as I have been doing since I was 1, that's fine. That's fine. I'll make new friends. But that, I feel like what I never accounted for, I mean, I was also just growing up, it was like my tween teen years, is that when you finally get a feeling of like, this is my place, because, you know, 1 year became 3 years and then 5 years. And then my parents were like, hey, we really like the UK, understandably compared to America. we were like, well, yeah, this is going to be home. And it was such an odd feeling of then realizing, because my whole life, I did have that kind of bittersweet feeling of, oh, I don't have childhood friends, or I don't have this idea of like, we went to the same nursery or kindergarten. I was always like, oh yeah, I had a really cool upbringing, but I don't have that, or yeah, I don't have a childhood home, or I actually don't feel like there's a country. When people ask me, even to this day, I can't tell them anything.
I can't tell them where
home I always is. Have to give some justifiers. I'm like, okay, so I've been here 12 years, but then I actually lived somewhere else.
No, I literally just had this conversation like 5 minutes ago.
maybe that is the not like other girls thing still, but there's still things that I feel come to the surface, mm-hmm, when I get that question of like, oh, so where are you from? Or yeah, as I'm sure with all of you. But my original point,
yes,
I didn't account for the sheer like violent urge to hold on to those years, like between teen years, because for the first time in my life, I had actually, I don't know, laid some roots, or I had like a life that I could remember. Also memory, because I don't know, 8 years old, you're not like remembering anything. And even to this day, like I'm I have the same friends, and I, you know, when I'm there, I still have this urge to keep it like as it was.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, this is going to be embarrassing because she's here, but my best friend Delta, who's here, I always say that like I still imagine us at 15, and how we were then in a really weird, so maybe a little controlling way. I'm like, that's us.
We need to stay 15.
Yeah, we need to stay 15. So I think, I don't know how, and maybe this links to this whole conversation about nostalgia and growing up, but what do you do about letting go with those memories?
I mean, that's actually really difficult. I think I really struggled with that when I first actually left Hong Kong, because I felt that like insane sense of like, sorry, FOMO, to be honest, of like missing out on like everything that was going on with people that I had gone to primary school with and gone to started secondary school with. And it took me a long time to let go of it. And I don't know if there's like really a specific way to let go of it. I think it just comes with time and it comes with age, to be honest. And now that my prefrontal cortex is developing and I'm 25, I feel like now...
Does it finish at 25?
Allegedly, I have no idea, to be honest. It's done. Okay, there we go. Woman in STEM.
We'll check back in a couple of months.
Yeah.
I'll be like, do you feel mature? But,
I don't know.
But on that note, we've started like 80 conversations.
Yes.
So absolute our bad. But we wanted to just open up the floor. When we did this the first time, it wasn't, please don't think it's a Q&A because that is weird. It's more just like, what do you think about anything and everything? Just like an open mic sort of thing.
Yeah. If you guys want to talk about anything that we talked about, anything that relates to your experiences.
I mean, you can also just ask us
questions. But... No, I don't think that they...
Yeah, actually don't, because
I don't think you guys care that much. have to say, to be honest.
I mean, they know the bare minimum. They know where we grew up.
And that's it.
Third culture kids only care about that.
That's our only interesting fact, is that we live everywhere. But this is like an open floor for anybody. If there's anything you guys want to talk about, we can make this a full kind of group discussion, to be honest.
Or heckle.
Yeah. Feel free to heckle, to be honest.
I feel like unplugging it.
That's going to be a nightmare. Use your stage voice. Those are two different questions.
Well, on to both. Don't worry. No, I mean, growing up, as a teenager, I'll be very honest. I think the first immediate reaction is glee.
Wow.
Glee, because I would be like,
oh, I get to tell. I get to talk about myself.
So, which adds up.
Glee. I thought you were talking about glee for a second.
Oh, yeah. Like sheer delight, because then I can actually tell them like what Elisa was saying, like that was the most interesting thing about me.
Yeah.
So I was like, thank you, because you saved me 5 minutes of like fishing for that conversation. But as my prefrontal cortex developed, I think it became more difficult, because in so many ways, I feel British now, because it's been the longest I've...
You're the only one.
No, but it's that feeling of like, oh, I actually have a home. Like, my family's here. I've lived here the longest. But then also that fear, like I was saying, of the fear of letting go, because I feel like if enough years pass, I can't talk about that, because that experience shaped me. Like, I still feel so American, even though I was only there for like 8-9 years, because that was, I mean, Americanness doesn't ever be but honestly, I think I've gotten to a point where home just feels like, it feels like where my grandparents are, because that's where, in between all of these moves, used to go back home and stay. And so it's more people. And because my grandparents, both sets, are still in India, I think of that childhood home, which is still there. We did move from there.
I mean, me?
I don't know.
I mean, for me, I think my visceral reaction in the beginning is always just to say, I'm from Pakistan. Just because it's easier. Really, the question everyone asks when they're asking that question is, why are you brown? That's the question that they're really asking. They're not asking, why do you sound like that? And why does your skin look like that? Please tell us why. That's the only question that they're really asking. After that point, then I'll explain more. I mean, what I just had this conversation like 2 seconds ago. Then I'll explain that, no, I didn't grow up in Pakistan. My family's still there, but, you know, I grew up in this country, that country. I only mentioned two, but I live in a couple other ones as well. But yeah, it's just home as a concept is a different question. Asking where you're from is, I think, just like on a map is just kind of pointing out the countries. Whereas asking, I think, where home is for me is just wherever my family is, to be honest. Wherever my parents are, wherever my sister is, I think that's where I'll think where home is. But yeah.
So beautiful. Thank you for that. But if anyone else has anything to say.
Yeah.
Someone who just turned
25. Yes. Woo! Yay! Yeah.
The only thing that I'm actually worried about is my rail card expiring.
No, that is so real. Yeah. Oh, that's so real.
See, now I have another thing to learn.
Yeah. Thank you. Of like anxieties about turning 25. Perfect. Now yeah. I have to pay full price.
I know, because that means that the whole system thinks about your life.
No.
From this, like, the entire country.
Yeah.
It means you're like fine next.
That's true.
They just like putting people in brackets. But I can no longer pay you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's like the BFI.
Yeah.
There's so many. Yeah, yeah, of course.
You get to enjoy things when you're young. I mean, they're not going to ask.
They're very weak.
Yes.
And to be fair, we rinsed the student discount at Ryman's
earlier today. Like, all
about. Yeah, there's no limit. Yeah, I feel like the 25 thing, it's like they just feel like you're financially able to pay full price. Yeah, but it's like, it's not about can you, it's about you want.
I don't want, who wants to? It's also, it's very much can you.
Yeah.
I work in STEM, I'm definitely not earning that much money.
I can't, and then I don't want to. So.
Okay, weird flex. You don't have to flex of your money. I
said I can't, and
oh my
god,
I work for the NHS. Don't flex on me.
Anyways, I don't have to worry about that for this year.
Yeah.
Anyone else worried about
25? Anything else? Yeah. That's a great attitude to have. That's a much.
I've never
deep. I think that's the big three. End of the decade. Yeah. I can see some people just being like, oh my god.
And it's like, it doesn't matter, I have to be 25, so I'm kind of excited. 25 would be like, I could get a car now.
Now's my time to shine. Yeah.
Graduating on trains.
So, that's true. That's true. End of life.
I'm so sorry, guys. No, but I think the point, if you take away one thing from this age conversation, but it's so arbitrary. Which
it's 100%. Yeah.
But
like, I mean, all of us are irrational thinking it in our heads. It's not a real fear.
Yeah, can I just add?
Yeah, no, go for it.
15 years ago, I'm very close. What really helped me is looking at really women in their 30s. And I've realized that the coolest people are actually in their 30s, because that's when you, like, that's when you're, yeah, when you're putting your shit out.
And you're like, okay,
so, like, people look out. Yeah, so you guys,
who are you looking up to on the spot?
Just no, go for it, go for it.
For example, there's this Instagram. There's this influencer called Aisha, like a Uyghur Instagram. I don't know if you guys have
heard of it. Yeah.
She's in her 30s. She's like a single woman. She does like supper clubs. She's an architect, chef. She works in sustainability.
I love that.
She's stunning. She has like amazing. So many women like this. Savannah, this runner influencer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Most
people. I love that. No, I
don't know. I was going to say that I'm in my 30s. You're not going to sort anything.
Oh. Okay, thanks.
Be like, what the hell?
Thanks for that. Looking forward to that. What were you saying? You were saying something.
Sorry.
Yes. Yes.
So at 25 was the age that I was married. And I've just come from India. The first year in London. And I have a business back in India. And I've started renters now. It's just in Jan. And so it doesn't get easier, and you always have this existential life crisis, that where am I going, what am I doing, where am I like, you know, we live in an age where you can sit. So I'm trying to get married in London, and I have three businesses, so yeah.
Yes!
And actually what you said is it's like comforting, but that feeling of like what next? Like where are you going? What's to do next?
Never age, and I think when you have a bond, things kind of have a timeline. You really don't want, if you're just discovering yourself at every age and every, and things that you love, finding that in a child.
Yay, that's amazing. Yeah.
And exactly like you said, it's not actually having women say that is enough.
That's no enough. One talks about it before, and I feel like no one talks about it. No one says that like life is still good after like 30. Like you'll still be alive. You'll still be alive. You'll still be slaying.
People saying, hey, listen, it's still okay rough. That it's off the rails.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no one age where you were like, okay, when I'll be this number, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's what you set for yourself as like, okay, like this is what life is, and I'm going to make the best of it. So it doesn't matter like what age you're at. It's they're going to be shit days and they're going to be amazing days.
That's true.
So it's like life is never like constant. You know, they're all just going to be ups and downs. It's never going to be linear, and you have to be okay with that, because like grief can come at any time.
That's true.
And then you have to somehow pick yourself up.
Yeah. Well, and one last thing, I know we're almost at time, but like experiences, like I mean, on theme, but the sleepovers, getting to do things when you were like 10 years old, then 15, then also in your like adult sleepovers. No one talks about how fun they are when you have, you know, you have to wake up at 7 the next day to go to a job. But like, it's so fun because, yeah, like exactly how you said, there's grief and there's joy and there's the same emotions exist just within different.
So that's just life.
Yeah.
That's just life.
Yeah. Well, that's a beautiful note to end
on. I know.
If anyone else has anything to say, please feel free. Or obviously afterwards, please just talk. This is a space to do just that.
Yes.
And thank you so much for listening. And I hope if you want to hear more,
obviously, we're on Spotify. We are in The Line Between on Spotify. But I think when you look up The Line Between, it doesn't come up. You have to put in parentheses after that for us to come up because we're still quite small. We're The Line Between on Spotify. We have a couple of, we're obviously a Pardesi podcast. You know, check us out on Pardesi, Pardesi.community. Well, yeah. Thank you guys.
You.
Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I hope you enjoyed our little brand of nonsense, our usual brand of nonsense. But if you want to see more of us online, you can check us out on Instagram on pardesi.community. If you want to email us directly, we are podcast.pardesi@gmail.com. If you want to check out our Twitter, it's Pardesi Blog. And if you want to have a little sneak peek at Kate Key and I's little bios on our website, it's www.pardesi.community/theline-between. Hope you guys had fun. See you next time.
Bye.